Om Shanti. So just to set the record straight, I didn't actually live with Sudesh Didi and Jentipen and Daddy Janki, but I live in the house that they lived in. So when they first came, they lived in, not Jentipen first, but Sudesh Didi and Daddy Janki lived in Omnivas in Tennyson Road. And that was the centre, the first centre outside of India. I think also Hong Kong was around the same time. Now it's more residence. It's residence, so I live in that house. It's actually two houses together. but yes, from day one really, after I finished the course and started attending Murli class, one day I had Sudesh Didi giving Murli, next day was Jentipen, next day was Sudesh Didi, next day was Jentipen. And then after the Murli, we'd go upstairs and have Daddy Janki's class when she was in the UK, which was quite a lot. But I didn't know any difference, you know, and now I understand the fortune of it, but that was just the normal. It just seemed normal. So, yeah, and it's also a bit interesting because Daddy Janki never told me off. She told a lot of people off, but never me. She encouraged me, and because I think she worked out that I'd already come from quite a strict background, and probably that there was a lot of sorrow in the soul, so she kind of was more always trying to, you know, uplift me and bring out the better side. So, yeah, I had to, and I remember once saying to her, because I saw there was lots of souls around her, and I said to her, is that what you want me to do? Do you want me to kind of be around you? And she said, absolutely not. She said, our relationship is very subtle. And it's so true. And even today, you know, I can go in front of a picture of her and I almost pick up a telepathic message. So it's a very subtle relationship. Although, you know, obviously, sometimes she did help me understand things. But generally, it was more kind of from the encouragement side. So, we have a beautiful topic today, living in a new paradigm. And I'm going to just write on the board. And if you want to take some notes, maybe we could use the word paradigm as a acronym, or you could call it mnemonic. I'm just going to put the mic down to get this pen top off. So let's just start like this. And let's just put it down here. So you could just do the word at the top of the page. Yeah? And so I thought we could take every letter and think about what that might mean in the new paradigm. And I looked at the word paradigm. And it's very beautiful, actually. It comes from the Greek to show. And if you think about, like, you know, God came on earth in a way to show us the new paradigm. And it's not just the Golden Age. The Confluence Age is a new paradigm. In fact, the Confluence Age is the biggest paradigm. And so other words that describe paradigm is model, example, a pattern of behavior. What other words were there? A standard, a perspective. So when you think about it, how much it fits in, God has come to show us a new example. God has come to show us, through Brahma, through a new pattern of behavior. God has come to show us a new perspective. God has come to show us a new example. And so, in a way, when we look at the Murli, Baba is always giving contrasts. A lot lately he's been doing the contrast of knowledge and devotion, bhakti. So he's always working with contrast. So I thought that might be a good way to approach this hour and a bit. So what would the P be? So the thing that I felt is most important, and probably I'll spend a little bit of time on this because if you get this right, the rest becomes easy. But if this bit isn't right, you struggle. Basically, it's in the way that black and white. So let's put... Can you read that? So first would be position. And however I position the self, the rest of life goes accordingly. So Baba gives us a lot. He might not use the word position, but he gives us a lot of ways to think about position. So, of course, the obvious one is soul consciousness is a new position, isn't it? Rather than being down here in the body, you're suddenly up here. You're in a new position. You're seeing yourself up here, aren't you? Point of light. So that's straight away is a new position. So you're either in your position or you forget your position, you fall out of it. And how many times does Baba say, stay on your seat? So self-respect is a position, isn't it? And Baba gives us lots of titles of self-respect. But that is a, each title is a position that we can hold. So, you know, we can, you know, we can hold the position that I'm an incorporeal soul. It's a very different position than thinking you're a human being. Yeah? Do you see how whatever the position that you have, that you're holding about yourself, your life will be accordingly. So if you're holding the position that you're an angel, the way you are going to act is very different. If you're in the position that you're an instrument for God, the way your life's going to flow is going to be very different. One that I have been working with a bit is, and Baba says it a little bit in the Muralis, avatar. So an avatar is someone that comes from another place. We could say actually that we're all aliens here, but we don't usually use that word, right? Because it's got a lot of connotations, hasn't it? But literally, we are not from this world. So if you slip into thinking that you're from this world, you're in completely the wrong position. If you're thinking that you're the incorporeal soul that's come into this world, then you're in the right position. And your life will be accordingly. So this, I'm so glad that the P came first, because really if you get this one right, your life becomes quite easy. And I remember someone asking a senior once, is this really easy Raj Yoga? Or is it a little bit difficult Raj Yoga? And the answer came, which was so beautiful, when you know who you really are, this life becomes easy. If you don't know who you really are, you'll struggle. Because you'll be half, you'll be kind of got a foot in both worlds. You know, you're trying to be something, but you're still something else. And so, you know, it's really worth thinking about every morning, in the early morning hours, what position do I want to be in today? And one I personally love is, because my Lokic name is Margaret, and actually Margaret means pearl. So one position I like to hold, and it's like quite private, but I'm Baba's pearly angel. Because they talk about the pearly angel, don't they? Or the jewel, the pearl, you know? So I think it's like you can give yourself any name you like in your relationship with God that helps you stay in a position. So sometimes, literally, I feel Pearl is talking to Margaret. So Margaret's just a character in the drama, yeah? But we know how powerful that character is. It's like the summary of half a cycle. So it's powerful. and full of, you know, being created by 2,500 years of Ravana and Maya. It's not, you know, it's not so easy to come out of it, but, and it's powerful, and Baba says it's powerful. So you have to find ways of separating yourself from it and being in your truth, you know. And as I'm saying all this, I am still work in progress. I mean, I've been listening to some of the lectures of the seniors and I'm like, whoa, there's so far to go. So everything I'm talking about, I'm working on it. So please understand that, so that I might walk out the door and not deliver what I've delivered here. So, yes, so, you know, this position, and, you know, if we can really, really just work on that, I think the rest will become quite easy. But it's the most difficult, because the pull of being a human being, and, you know, it's almost like so deep in our subconscious that we're part of the world, that we belong to the world, you know, and to really see yourself as a guest in this world, a traveller to this world, an avatar. It takes, you know, you've got to use the intellect, the muscle, to build that up. And it's not an overnight, that's why Baba says over a long period of time, you have to build up. And you have to practice that. You have to practice being in the soul world and feeling that you're coming down. So, you know, in a way, devotion is very much being here and trying to go up to God. And knowledge is, no, you're from the same land as God. Be there. You are like God. You're a point of light like God. You are a shining star. You are an incorporeal soul. That is the starting position. But often we don't. We're down here and we're still trying to go up there. So this whole positioning is absolutely crucial. And if you work on it, and you can take a different title every day and position yourself in that, and you will, as long as it's from the Murali, or, you know, you'll find that your life will change. If you just, you know, but then you have to hold that position, not just morning, early class. You have to hold the position when you go out to the shops, when you're walking along the street, when you're interacting with others. That's when it becomes the game, right? But if you see it as a game, then, you know, you can, you know, that's another position. I'm one playing a game. I'm in God's game. I'm in God's world. I mean, that is a lovely position. I am moving in the light of God, in God's world. But we have to make that a big effort. We have to make. So let's move on to the next one. And I put for the A, another challenging one, right? Acceptance. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Just a little bit of acceptance. In God's world, in God's paradigm, He wants 100%. He wants 100% because He's perfect, right? And He wants us to become perfect. So that, what does that mean? And we might see that we're only 20% acceptance. We might see we're 30% acceptance. But we have to keep moving up. You know, and maybe what the karma teach stage is, and this is just my own personal churning, karma teach stage is you're in the right position and you've accepted everything. So what that means is I have to accept myself as God sees me. So I have to start taking the Murali very personally and accepting it. That everything Baba says in the Murali is for me. Yeah? It also means I have to accept everyone else as they are. Now that's really hard, isn't it? We want to sort of fix them, change them. Why? Because we think it will make our life easier. But, you know, acceptance is a beautiful thing, you know. And when I came here, that was one thing that I was working on. And, you know, we can live a life where we don't accept. And if we don't accept things, then there'll be questions, there'll be complaining, there'll be resistance. So, you know, if you're working with the model of acceptance, you think your life won't be easier, but actually it's easier. Because otherwise, who's the first recipient of your complaint? You are. You're creating that energy in your consciousness. You're, you know, here's acceptance, really nice flow. Complaint is, it's like a troubled water, isn't it? It's a violence, yes, thank you, it's a violence. So, you know, acceptance has got a little bit of peace in it, it's got purity in it, it's got happiness in it, it's definitely got self-respect in it. So, you know, it's got a little bit of, it's got love in it. So, you know, in a way, the first few powers, you know, the power to withdraw and pack up, power to tolerate, accommodate, they all kind of, the sum total of them is acceptance. So, you know, and it was really interesting because someone was talking about stress to me. Someone, you know, not a BK, but any BK could be talking about stress. I'm not saying I'm free from it. It's really interesting that they were thinking that the situation was making them stressful. And we can fall into the same trap, right? That we think it's the situation that's stressful. And then as we go along, it starts to click that it's the thoughts and feelings about the situation that's making us feel stressed. No thoughts about it, you're not stressed, right? You know, but the illusion is that it's about that person in the situation or the situation that's making me stressed. But it's definitely your own thoughts about it. So to live with acceptance is a big responsibility. And, you know, these are kind of high markers, but, you know, God, he's not going to come and give a mediocre course, is he? He's God, he's going to give the top. He's going to give the top course. And so we just have to keep moving towards it and not feel bad if, you know, there's a moment you don't accept. Well, what's the lesson? What kind of thoughts was I thinking, or what was going on that didn't allow me to accept that? So, and when we're thinking about others, and we all get thoroughly tested on these. So I was thinking, you know, before I came, you know, living in a Bavan and also being in Global House, where you're dealing, you know, with 500 people. It's not a joke, you know, sometimes. And then Lockick family, I'm one of 11 children. You know, for about 5 months I was living in the Lockick home, because up until my mum passed on. And, you know, and the year before that I was looking after my nephew, who's got a lot of complications because he had meningitis as a child, baby. And so, you know, all of those, I think in all of the mix, and then obviously I work as well a little bit, all of the mix of that, I thought, you know, there's the material there to become a king if I so choose. But it's whether you choose, isn't it? Whether you use everything to your advantage, you know. And I think that's, and I think when you've got acceptance, what happens with when you accept something, it's almost like, in a way, that is the step of courage, because then Baba will help you a lot. And I've seen in situations where I thought, I don't know how I'm going to cope with this, Baba, but I just accepted it, and I saw beautiful things emerging in me. You become much more resourceful, you know, but it also means that you will have to come out of your comfort zones. Because we like to have a little comfort zone, because we can just move in that. Is it too close? if we just move in our comfort zone, we don't become very resourceful. And sometimes it's when our comfort zone is taken away from us for whatever reason, then we become more resourceful. You know, I was in America a couple of years ago. You know, everything was going well, and then suddenly I tripped, broke my wrist. You know, and you know, suddenly you're out of your comfort zone, right? And I was staying in the Lockick Lockick home, so I didn't have the support of BKs, but I still thought, you know, Baba, it's so great. I've already cooked my pancakes. I've done my ironing. You know, and actually, if you accept what happens, beautiful things just emerge from it, you know? It's just every step of the way, accept, 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 accept. And then you'll see that there'll be some beauty in it, some, you know, some kind of magic almost. But if you don't, if you don't accept, you don't see that. You don't see the flow of it. It's got, acceptance has got a flow. So acceptance is like, you know when people say go with the flow? It's a bit like that. Acceptance. You're going down the river. Just, you know, whatever situation come, it is the right situation for your learning, for your growth, for your, for clearing out. You know, for, you know, it's not always going to be cushy-cushy because there might be something for you to settle and there might be something for you to learn, but it's all for your benefit. And Baba tells us that. He says, there is nothing at the confluence age that is not for your benefit. Yeah?
You know, I just wanted to ask something around acceptance because, you know, when I really love what you're saying, and it makes sense. But, you know, when I hear that word, or when I've heard it in the past, then there's been resistance. I think the ego resists and goes, I have to accept. You know, that's still that feeling of loss that the ego can have. But if I can work, like, you know, what is it that you did that brought it for you? And, you know, so you felt that it's not, I'm not losing something.
Yeah.
And I'm not weak in this. I'm not a victim, but,
yeah. I'm trying to think of example, but because I know I'm online, that doesn't kind of, I think in the Lockick way of acceptance, we think we're going to become the doormat. And I think that's the little bit of the problem. But I think acceptance doesn't mean that I agree with someone's behaviour, but it means that I'm not engaging in it. So when I accept something, so in a way, Baba is asking us for a one-way flow. He's wanting us to be, you know, take energy from him and give out energy. And that is about us. It's immaterial what someone else does or doesn't do, because he wants that one-way flow. You know, I'm in my self-respect and I'm giving respect. I'm in self-love, I'm giving love. It doesn't matter if someone's jumping up and down, causing a hullabaloo. What Baba wants is that flow. So what acceptance does, if we think of it like that, acceptance means that I'm not starting to ask questions about why is that person doing that. So in a way, acceptance is a bit like going into the neutral of a manual car. Then you can go to first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear. So what it's doing is, it's not that you're necessarily approving of that behavior or that you would do that behavior, but what acceptance does is that it keeps you stable. Because within acceptance, there's peace, there's definitely purity, there's peace, there's love, there's joy. So acceptance means that I am not going to engage in that. I'm going to stay in my self-respect. And I'm going to stay. And then what acceptance does is it allows you to be thinking about your response rather than their behavior. Does that make sense? Yeah. I think you have to talk in. I'm happy that you ask questions, but you need to talk into the mic because it's being recorded.
Can it be like, giving the having self-love, self-respect, but on the same time being detached, because, you know, other souls' behavior can influence me.
Mm.
Is that what acceptance will be?
Mm.
That's what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Acceptance is, you know, behind acceptance is it's a fixed, predestined drama. That's it. So if someone is, irritated about something, that is fixed in their part at that moment in time. It's just fixed. It's predestined. Doesn't mean the next moment they're not going to come out of it. You know, and I think acceptance helps you to live in the moment. Because, I mean, I saw one soul, and it's not that I approve of the behavior or the lifestyle of them, but I accept it. That's where they are. I can see the pain that, you know, they got an addiction. I can see the pain that they're using the addiction to cover it up, the pain. I can see all that. So I accept that. This doesn't mean that I'm approving of it or I'm going to help it along, but I accept it. And I keep giving respect to that soul. And I've seen how over time, that's, you know, good wishes, pure feelings, their relationship with me is very okay. You know, so, but, yeah.
So this component of, we have this component or element of haji. So anything Margaret says, I say haji, right? So I have, they say that if you love God, you have to be saying haji. So in context to acceptance and this haji, in case there is so much of resistance, and I say, okay, I'll do it, you know, with a little bit of resistance inside, but I say haji because I've been told that, you know, you love Baba, you have to say haji. So I'm saying haji, but internally I'm not kind of fully accepting. How do you cope with that?
Well, Daddy Janki helped me with this, because one time in the Bhavan I talked to him and I said, you know, Daddy, we have to look after the Bhavan, it's Baba's place, but some people really engage in it and some people do less and whatever. And she said, whatever you do in Baba's remembrance, you gain such a fortune. And I think it's about, I think it's knowing what's going on, and I think the word no is very harsh and it's got a lot of negative energy in it. But sometimes there's other ways you can say it. But when you say no, it's a shock to that person, right? So someone may ask you to do something. So you have to think about what I learned quite early on. really would love to help you, but I already have other plans for that time. I don't tell them what the plans are. They don't need to know that. And that's not that. I said, really nice. So if you want me to help you next week with it, if you still need the help, then I will be able to. But right now I've got other plans. Or I'm honest. I'm saying, you know, I'm preparing for an event. I can't take anything else on at the moment. But once that's over, I'm happy to help you. Or I think it's finding ways to be realistic. But if you can do something and give a bit of time, it's your fortune. But if you're doing it with, I mean, I think about how many times I did something and there was resistance in me, and there's no fortune in that. You know, better I'd sorted out my own head and did it for Baba, and then did it rather than begrudgingly. But as soon as you do something begrudgingly, zero fortune. But as soon as you bring in a little bit of love, you know, your fortune's going up. But maybe some of the other ones will. So, I thought for the R, fact, some of these are becoming a bit different than the ones on my list, but anyway, respect. And I think this is very connected with the position. And maybe I should have put royal respect. Because, you know, Baba really wants, you know, he knows that we hit rock bottom, and I often say to Baba, "Baba, you pulled me out of the pit." You know, Baba wants us to be in our self-respect, you know, and, a royal self-respect. I mean, we can think of the royalty of the Golden Age, but really, we're in God's family now. What a royal family. Not, the Golden Age is nothing compared to being, you know, one of God's royal children. And, you know, he wants it to show in our face and our behavior, whatever. But to the extent that I have self-respect, I'll give respect to others. If I don't have self-respect, I won't give respect to others. So a lot of the inner work is building up that self-respect. And when I look back to 30 years ago, or over 30 years ago, I didn't realize how much low self-esteem I had. You know, and even if you come to Madhaban, you've got mirrors all around you, Global House, mirrors all around you, you know. And it will show up any kind of arrogance or, you know, low self-esteem. And I'm grateful for that, because it can trip either way. In fact, arrogance is just low self-esteem with a coping mechanism. You know, so anything that is not based on the purity of the soul and the qualities of the soul and the position that we talked about earlier, you know, it's going to be a low self-esteem. And I've learned now, if I see someone who's arrogant, I feel mercy, because I just know they've got low self-esteem, just like I might still have, or I definitely had. You know, so a lot of our effort and a lot of Baba's effort is building up that self-respect on the truth. So that self-respect can only be based on I'm a soul and I belong to God. That's it. If your respect is based on anything else, you're in an old paradigm. You know, so the new paradigm is I am a soul that belongs to God. That's it. That's your whole self-respect. And if you can nurture that more and more and more, you know, then it won't matter. It won't matter what seat you're in. It won't matter what you're given to do. Well, it really won't matter. But if your self-respect is based on anything external, then one day you're going to be up and the next moment you're going to be down. You know, so this whole thing about respect, giving respect to others, based on that every soul, I mean, Baba's children, you know, can you imagine that of the whole world, Baba's picked certain souls. You know, I like this word army. I see army more in the kind of worldly way, but I was thinking it's got the word arm in it, A-R-M. So we're Baba's arm. You know, collectively we become the army, but we're Baba's arm. So every Brahmin soul is going to be doing something for Baba to help create the new world. So that's the kind of level of respect. But even outside, you know, the Brahmin family, every soul comes from the soul world, belongs to God's soul family, and that's the level that Baba wants us to have of every soul. So wherever you go, whatever you do, Baba wants us to see the soul, give respect to the soul. And you can see how what happens when you don't and what happens when you do. You know, sometimes, you know, I've noticed, you know, like maybe you've got to call an engineer about something or whatever, and you're waiting on the phone for kind of ages, and eventually you get through to something, and the tone of voice may not be right. You don't give respect, and the outcome is going to be very different than if you had patience, and when that call comes, you're thinking you're going to talk to a soul. The outcome will be different. So, you know, we are creating our life minute by minute, second by second, just by being in self-respect and giving respect to others. And, you know, we will be so tested on this all the time, how much self-respect you're in. But it can only be on, I'm a soul and I belong to God. I mean, just probably maybe a year before I came into knowledge, I went to a tarot card reader. My life was pretty bad, and I was thinking, I just wanted to find out that there's going to be something good happening. And it's very interesting what they said, because they said there'll be two personalities in your life. They didn't say human beings. They said there'll be two personalities in your life, and they will support you 101%. And I said, but there isn't such a thing as 101%. She said, I know, but I'm seeing it here. As there'll be two personalities in your life, and they will support you 101%. But one will be more emotionally bound, and one will be more inspirationally bound. And she actually gave the time. It's going to be within the next year or year and a half, exactly the time I came. And I would say, from my heart, Baba and Brahma Baba, independently and together, they have supported me 101%. But it switches. Sometimes I'm more emotionally bound to Brahma Baba inspired for the bodiless stage, and sometimes more Shiv Babas, like the beloved, and inspired by Brahma Baba. But I have used that so much in my life, you know. But, you know, and how much respect is Baba giving me? And that's the biggest return, isn't it? To give, to stay in that respect and give it to others. To pass it on, you know. So, the next A. is a very beautiful word. And it follows on quite nicely after respect. Because if you don't respect yourself, you won't really appreciate yourself. You'll be putting yourself down internally. I'm not good enough, I can't do this, blah, blah, blah. Same with others, other souls. If you don't respect them, you won't appreciate them. And so appreciation, to me, is about seeing the quality of something. Or qualities or specialities. So we can see a chair. We can accept that it's a chair. But when you start to see it's balanced, it's comfortable, you know, supportive, these are the qualities. So appreciation is about seeing the qualities of everything. So we can see the qualities of things, we can see the qualities of God, we can see the qualities of others. And how beautiful is it to live a life where you are in appreciation. So in a way, appreciation comes after gratitude. So gratitude is more about you are grateful for what you have. And we, you know, there's people who write gratitude journals and everything, isn't there? So one way to keep your stage up is to be grateful. And I noticed the first week when I was here, that was the predominant kind of thing going on in my mind was, wow, thank you, Baba, thank you, Baba. It's almost like, you know, having a kind of consciousness of gratitude for all that Baba's giving. Because what he's giving us is so amazing. But sometimes our intellects are a bit small and we don't really get it. But it's like, it's so huge. You know, God has come on earth and he's educating us, ready for kingdom of heaven. But even before the kingdom of heaven, look what he's giving us, the family, beauty, you know, he's giving everything. And so to live a life where you're grateful for everything, you know, we live in cultures where we just turn on the tap and there's hot water. Be grateful for it. People don't have that. We have food on our plate. You know, that's drishti, gratitude. Or everything, be grateful. And then once you've got that gratitude going, then appreciation is kind of like the next step. You start seeing the qualities of everything. And, you know, gratitude stops that kind of complaining kind of nature, you know, that's not nice for yourself and certainly not nice for others. You know, so they talk about in positive psychology that gratitude and appreciation are the two highest, and when kind of qualities, they really help your consciousness. I mean, we're given something higher than that, which is elevated thinking. But when they did the water crystals, Dr. Emoto did the water crystals, the one for thank you was so beautiful. So imagine in your consciousness, you're grateful, you're appreciating. Not only is it helping your consciousness, but it's helping your whole body. It's picking up that message. So your body's going to operate differently. You know, so, and you're creating that environment. So, you know, even on that kind of level, it's such a beautiful, but Baba's, you know, wants us to see virtues or specialities. You know, he wants that to be the game of our life. Just as we meet people, what's their speciality? What's the virtue Baba sees in them? He wants us to be seen like that. The old paradigm is when you see a negative. The old paradigm is when you see a mistake. The old paradigm is when you see, you know, you make a judgment or you have a prejudice. These are all part of the old paradigm. The new paradigm is qualities and specialities. So you can see quite a lot of contrast between the old paradigm, which Baba would class as rather than the Maya's kingdom, and the new paradigm is what God's creating. So he wants us to live in the new paradigm. But he also knows that we're addicted to the old paradigm. It's an addiction. Just like any addiction, thinking, feeling about the old world is the biggest addiction. To come out of that addiction, you know, but unless you've realized you've got the addiction, you won't come out, you won't get the help. And I think maybe for most Brahmins who've been on the path a while, there's a point when they say, Baba, I'm full of all the vices. And you suddenly realize, you know, I think in the early days, Baba carries us a lot, but then you suddenly realize, oh, I've got it all, ego, anger, greed, attachment, the whole shebang. And then I think you start taking help from Baba, you know. And there's a point where that becomes clear, you know. So... So what do you think with the DB? It could be, couldn't it? I'm going to put something else. So in a way, you know, Baba wants us to live in dignity, isn't it? And it's so close to like self-respect, isn't it? But it's kind of higher. Dignity is really understanding that you are going to become a deity, and that you were a deity and you're going to become that again. And what is needed to get there? And there's some points in the Murli that over the last maybe year or so have really struck me. Before I didn't almost hear them, but it was like Baba might be talking about Lakshmi Narayan or something. And he said, how did they become Lakshmi Narayan? I love points like that. Really love them, because it's the same for all of us. If we take ourselves to the deity stage and see ourselves as the deity, how did I get there? And it's kind of reverse psychology in a way, isn't it? And then you think about what needs to be in place to get there. And it was very interesting, because when I came to Madhaban last March, I went to the art department and got some A4 pictures. Cycle, tree, ladder, Lakshmi Narayan. What else did I get? Maybe Yogi and Bliss. Because I knew I was going to be staying in Lockick Home, and I thought, I need to have something that reminds me. So the room built up a lot of energy, actually. But on the side of the cupboard, where no one really would see, I used to have a picture, and I'd change it every so often. And the one that helped me the most was Lakshmi Narayan. And it just, when I looked at that picture, it just kind of gave me that dignity. And it's not about the picture. You know, some people say, oh, I don't relate to that picture. It's not about the picture. It's about what does it represent. It's like there's a dignity. How did they get there? You know, and this is the missing link in devotion. They see Lakshmi Narayan, but they have no comprehension that Lakshmi Narayan in their previous birth were educated by God. And that's how they came. Same with you. The deity that you were going to be in your previous birth, which is now, you were educated by God. And of course, once the conference is over, we'll forget all that. But, you know, that little bit of going reverse is so helpful, because you start to think, okay, what do I need to put in place that dignifies my behaviour? And you'll start to notice things. Oh, I eat too fast, it's not very dignified. I walk too fast, not very dignified. You'll start to see things that you could actually quite easily change. You know, and in some ways it was really good to have 5 months in the Lockett household, because all their eyes were on me. You know, it's almost like I had to be extra pucker. You know? It was like, oh, Vathara, I'm your example here. You know, I couldn't say a word of knowledge, but I had to live it, you know? I'm not saying that I was perfect, but not too bad, you know? So, but it's the same whether you go to work. You are Baba's example at that time. Some ways I think we slack off when we're at the Brahmins. We go into a comfort zone, but when you're out at work, I remember I was at work once, and we were in a dining room, and I was eating a sandwich, you know, made at the centre, and some crumbs dropped on my... So I picked up my thing and I walked to the bin, and I went like this into the bin, and when I turned around, they were like completely gobsmacked. Because they've never seen anyone do that. Someone else would just stand up and it would drop on the floor. But, you know, Baba gives us kind of etiquettes. And, of course, that's one thing of growing up with Daddy Janki. I mean, growing up in knowledge with Daddy Janki, she did teach a lot of etiquettes. This is what you do, this is what you don't do. But it's up to you to pick them up, you know? So, if you watch the seniors, they're very dignified. And we can learn a lot about... So I think dignity is such a beautiful positioning. So it links to the first one. It's got all of the others in there. Like, you know, your dignity is that you accept someone else. Because you don't want to... Your dignity, you don't want those waste thoughts. If you're dignified, you don't want waste thoughts. You know, as was said, I think, yesterday, you're not, you don't want to be someone else's rubbish bin. If you're dignified, you don't want to be a rubbish bin for anybody else. But you don't want to be your own rubbish bin. You know, our thoughts either can be elevated or they can be rubbish. So, you know, when you're holding that thing that I'm God's child, dignity is really important, you start to operate differently as well. So I've seen the time. What do you think the eye is going to be? Oh, it could have been that. Could have been that one as well, but it's not. That's a good one too. Because you see, the old paradigm is show, isn't it? Name and fame. Want to leave my mark. Let me set up a hospital so it's got a plaque on it. It's all about that, you know. And we can still fall into the trap, you know, the beginning, the middle, the end of an action. Ah, I want a result. But incognito is really like the angel. You are an instrument for God. You are glorifying God. You come and you do whatever you've got to do, you leave. You know, it's not about leaving your mark. It's about leaving an energy.
Isn't that playing like a little bit downplaying yourself?
No, not if you're in yourself, because what the world is energy, right? So incognito is you come and you do the best and you leave it there. Because you know that you will get the return, like the boomerang, of the energy you put into something. So you don't have to worry about return. You are, you know, it's actually, if we put our name on it, we're going to get less return. For the traffic control. So in the old paradigm, we want to be recognized. We want feedback. Acknowledged, made to feel that we're good, we're okay. This is a very old paradigm. We all slip into it, right? But the new paradigm, there's three things that are always aware of what you're doing. God, and I'm including Brahma in that. Your karma, and your conscience. Who else needs to know? So you will get your reward based on that anyway. So, you see, the thing is, when we put our stamp on it, our name on it, it's less. If we tell, Baba tells us in the Muli, if you've done something and you tell someone about, I did this, I did that, you get less return. You know, there was once, I was walking through Global House, it must have been about just after 9 o'clock at night, I'd just finished in the office, and walked through the servery on the way out, and there was a brother, he didn't see me, he was just mopping the floor, but I could tell from the way he was doing it, he was so conscious and he was remembering Baba, I could just feel it, and that probably did more to help me at that time than all the lectures I was listening to. So he didn't know that he had an impact. We don't know, just like in a way when we do service through the mind, we don't know where it goes. It's all incognito to us, isn't it? But the fact that we're generating that energy, it serves us and wherever it goes. So I think the greatest companion you've got is your own conscience. And if you do things that are in line with your conscience, and of course that includes all the Srimad, you're just going to have a lovely life. But if you're going against your conscience, and there's sometimes our conscience says, don't say, don't leave your mark, and you go against it because that's the old paradigm and it's a big pull, isn't it? Oh, I did this and it was really good and blah, blah, blah. And we colour it. Oh, Baba helped me. And, you know, we kind of make it okay. But we didn't need to say. You know, and Baba says truth will reveal itself. And he said many times, all the time, but it seems to be loads of times lately, at the end, everything will be revealed. You know, so, you know, I think that's why I think it's a really important one. And of course, I'm only going to put ones up there that I've got to work on. You know, that's, even when in professionally, I only ever teach courses I need to learn. You know, so I think incognito is a really important one. And when you look at, if I look at something like Global House, so many things manifest. I don't know who does them. You know, you go in and there's cleanliness or something. I don't know. And mostly people don't know what I'm doing. It doesn't. They don't need to know. They may know what department, but they don't know the everyday things, and it's not important, you know. The fact is that we're all collectively helping in Baba's task. And I think that leads very nicely on to the next one. What do you think the G would be? Let's go a bit higher. You know, and I think we can either mix everything or we can think everything's for God. You know, if I just thought, let's do a little visualization now, and you think about wherever you live, whether you're shared, centered, at home and everything, think about your kitchen. Can you see it? And it's much easier if you think everything belongs to God. What does it do when you think that? Everything belongs to God. You're more detached. You're going to look after it better. You're only going to get the things you really need. But you can't think everything belongs to God, and then in that cupboard there's my cup. Do you see how we slip up so easily? But it's much actually, Baba's trying to help us say that everything belongs to God. The bed you're in, everything, including this body. It's for God's service now. If you're thinking about that positioning and you're an avatar, this body is literally for God's service. There's nothing else it's for. There's no, for all of us now at the conference, there's no reason to be here apart from to help create heaven. There's nothing else we're involved in. Really, is there? So everything, all our life has to kind of spin round that it's for God. And when that becomes clearer and clearer, and it takes a while, doesn't it? Because a lot of clearing out has to happen of our consciousness. You know. So even, Baba says, even when you go to visit your family, you're there, you know, their souls belong to God, and you're going there to spread some godly energy. And you might take some godly toli with you, and you just have to make it all about God. And the more you do that, actually you're protected. You're protected. Whereas if you think, and Baba says that a lot in the Mir, make Mira Terra, isn't it? So you make mine yours, and that's what he's trying to say, everything. Make it easy for yourself, everything. Everything you're wearing has come from God. But where we get confused is if we paid some money for it, we think it's ours. But if you think about money, it's just another energy, and if I paid money for something, that allows it to be in my vicinity to use, but doesn't mean I own it. It belongs to the earth. Everything in your kitchen, and even your body, and all the things in your house, they belong to the planet. And you, the soul, belong to God and the soul world. And more we have to really understand this separation. Because there's going to come a point when it's all going to go. And if we haven't seen it as God's, and we still see my about it, we're going to suffer, aren't we? So Baba makes it very clear, no one will ever die, no one loses anything, You know, everything that you know is going to go, but you're getting golden age. I mean, it's much easier for us than people who don't have this knowledge, because they can see everything's going to go, but they don't know the next chapter. And that's why Baba's so keen for the message to go out, because he wants souls to feel secure. You know? This is family. He wants everyone to get the message so that they're not worried. So, and also, it's like as soon as you, if you're thinking, and I think there's a tendency in this one to get a bit over responsible, but when you suddenly think, God's responsible, oh, it just makes you feel so relaxed. God's responsible, He's going to get it done. He's my 101% support. He's going to get it done. And you suddenly think, when you make that shift, and sometimes you might have to go through misery to get to the point where you let go. And then when you let go, it all starts to turn around. And in order to get you back to God, you may have to go to a senior or whatever, who will very gently give you that right perspective. And so, what do you think the M would be? Manmanabhava. That would be a good one, wouldn't it? Magic. You see, we have to expect miracles and magic. Not just in the big things, but the little things. And I got a little example for you today, because I was thinking about this, obviously, because I was going to be doing this presentation. And I was on the bus yesterday coming from Pandabhavan to here. And I sat in the seat next to the window. And then someone got on, and it was almost like they were leaning all over me. And they were on the phone, and it was loud. And so I was looking out the window, and I could see the old sanskar wanting to jump up and say, "Excuse me." But I thought, no. So I just said, in my mind, I said, "Baba, this is your beloved child. Baba, this is your beloved child." And without me knowing, somehow, they moved over and suddenly I had a lot of space. And I think this is the new paradigm. Because we don't always expect magic to happen. But we are living with God. We're living in the new paradigm with God. And I think we need to expect magic. So that's just a little example. But in bigger situations, I've also seen when something happens and I just tell Baba about, "Baba, this is the situation that's happening right now." And then I start to see how it starts shifting and changes. And I can't remember exactly the situation, but I remember thinking, a situation came, it was quite a few years ago, and I said, "Baba, I'm really sorry, but I cannot see any benefit in this situation. I know you say there's benefit in every situation, but I'm being honest with you, I cannot see any benefit in this." Of course, Baba's very royal. Within 24 hours, I say, "Baba, I can't believe that there was so much benefit in that situation." And I think that this is the magic, you know. But it's almost the last one of all of this. Otherwise, you know, if we're in resistance, if we're not in the right position, we're in resistance, we're not respectful, we're not working on dignity, we're leaving our name and over everything, we're not including God, we're not going to see the magic. But when we really start working with these things, expect magic. You know, something might look like it's gone wrong, but you tell Baba about it, and somehow, you know, he says he's the one who puts right everything that's gone wrong. Suddenly, you can't believe the things, how it can change, or, you know, whatever. And, you know, sometimes a situation where it comes, and you know you haven't responded right, and you tell Baba about it, that soul will come in front of you again, and you'll get a chance to say sorry, or I think you misunderstood. And you'll feel so much joy, and that's the magic, isn't it? The magic is that you feel joy, you feel happiness, you feel light, you know, and you feel magical. You know, but we are living in magical times. You know, the golden age, it's a beautiful time, but it's not like the magic of the confluence age, where we can see how God is operating. So anyway, this was the just little thoughts on paradigm, and I thought it's a way of remembering it. And you might put different, you could do it again and put your own different things, like mastery would be great, wouldn't it? But magic is nice, isn't it? Om Shanti.
Anybody has any questions? You have a question? Sister one's question.
Om Shanti. So for all of these words that you've put there, we need relationships with Baba, yeah, in order to manifest them. So what is the foremost relationship that you think would be important to create this situation?
All of them, basically. So one thing that this one's done over time, and it called, is taken a different relationship every day. So it's not like I only think about that relation all the time, because whatever, you know, whatever form you need, Baba sort of comes in that form. If you're connected with him, he'll take on that relationship. But generally, Monday, teacher. Tuesday, beloved. Wednesday, father. Thursday, Satguru, which is obvious. Friday, friend. Saturday, mother. And Sunday, child. So there's a kind of consciousness all the time of kind of invoking that. So same thing with qualities. You know, you could put wisdom with the teacher, and bliss with the beloved, and power with the father, and purity with the Satguru, and happiness with the friend, and love with the mother, and peace with the child. And so you have to find your own way of playing with Baba, with these things. And that's one thing, I've done it over many, many, many years. So you then get, you see the relationships that are easy for you, but you see the ones that are less easy for you. And probably the one that was the most easy was friend. I think I had God as my friend before God as my father. Now I see the importance of God as my father and what that brings. But in the early days, it was, I just needed a good friend, you know. And I knew that, I think the quality that I liked about Baba the most was constancy. You know, that he was always going to be there. Because, you know, in worldly terms, I had, and it's not about other people, I had felt let down. So it's not about them. I had that sanskara of feeling let down. But so the constancy of Baba and to have a constant friend was just, I was over the moon. So, but, you know, as time goes on, you see the importance, like child probably was more tricky for me. But then Sister Sadesh Didi explained it really well. Everything that you do for the yagya, it's like you're doing it for your child. And that was really beautiful. So even if you're cleaning out a drain or washing up, you're doing it for your child. Just like if you had a child in the home, you want the home to be clean, tidy, whatever. You're doing it for your child. And that's why you're making Baba your heir. You're doing everything for Baba. And so I think if you do them all regularly and find, for me, I'm quite systematic, you will start to see the ones where you need to put more energy into them. But behind every relationship, there's qualities, powers, virtues, titles, lots to explore. And even as I'm saying that, I think there's more to explore. So,